Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
What's up, Wizards fans? Welcome to the Wizards Tip-Off Podcast presented by Greenberg and Betterman personal injury lawyers Chase Hughes and Chris Miller in studio. And Chris is back from the Go, Chicago, Illinois. Do people there actually call it the Go?
Absolutely not.
I thought Kanye West said it one time, so I thought people called it that, and I said it in front of someone from Chicago. He's like, what are you talking about, the Go? Maybe the Chai? I don't know.
The Chai.
Yeah. There you go.
City of broad shoulders.
You like Chicago?
I do, especially at this time of the year when it's not in December or January, where the Wizards seem like they always go up there during that time of the year where it's cold and dreary and ugly. It was really nice on Thursday, and then the rain came in late Friday when I was flying out. So I left just to come back here to this monsoon.
You know, every time you go to a city, you do your road diaries, and it's always about, like, shoes and sightseeing. Like, is food part of the equation? Like, when you go to Chicago, is it deep dish pizza or...
I'm like Bradley Beal when it comes to deep dish pizza. No thank you.
Really? Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah. He said that. Yeah, that was kind of a hot take.
He got sick. Yeah, he's not a fan of deep dish.
Oh, he got sick.
Nor am I. A little food bug. I think it was before game one or game two of that first year that John and Brad made the playoffs in Chicago.
No.
I think it might have been the day before game one, maybe.
By the way, what are you eating deep dish pizza in the middle of a playoff series anyways?
Plus, he's from St. Louis, too, and you know he contends that St. Louis has some really good pizza. So
that's right. That's right.
Youthful exuberance, that's what we'll call it.
Bradley Beal's talked about learning a lot about his body and his diet over the years. I think eating deep dish pizza in the middle of a playoff series is probably a good example of what not to do.
When you go to Chicago, you got to get a steak, man. There's a lot of good steak places
there.
I don't want to give any free advertising out there, but if they're willing to...
But you might see Steve Buckhantz in one of them if the Wizards are in town.
That's true.
So you were there at the NBA Combine. Obviously, a lot of different guys who are either going to be first or second round picks or maybe just sign as an undrafted free agent for a G League team, two-way contracts. There's a lot of different ways these guys can go. The NBA Combine, they put them through. What'd you call it in an email? It was like anthropometric measurements or something?
Yes, that's what it's called. It's called anthropometric testing results. So they put you through, they let you know what your standing reach is, your wingspan, your height with shoes, your height without shoes, although who plays basketball without shoes makes no sense to me. Every time I see that, I'm like, that makes no sense. your weight, your body fat percentage, your hand width by inches, and your hand length by inches. So they kind of put you through a little bit of everything, and you do the interview process, obviously, with each team. You know, they make a selection of which player they want to talk to. It's like speed dating. You get, I think, a half hour to talk to them, and you ask them all kind of stupid questions. Some questions are like, what? But it was interesting this year as opposed to most years when I asked players, you know, what are some of the questions that they ask. A lot of these guys have been well-trained by their agent to say, just don't say anything. Just be like, it was all fine. The interview was fine. They didn't ask anything crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's basically how the entire week goes. Give the league a lot of credit. You know, Chase, they had the draft combine. They had the lottery, and then the combine was in the same location. So you give them a lot of credit of, like, putting everything in one city, one week, find out who wins the lottery, and then you poke and prod the prospects for 3 to 4 days.
And I should say on this podcast, we will have your interview with Mark Turgeon. You interviewed a lot of different guys at the Combine, and we'll play some of those interviews back throughout the course of the next week or so. We'll also have Markieff Morris's exit interview later in the week in another episode, but we'll talk to Mark Turgeon because he's got a few guys that are entering the league. But in terms of those anthropometric measurements, there were a few guys that stood out. Mohamed Bamba, one of them. 7'10" wingspan. His standing reach is 9'7.5", meaning he only has to jump 2.5 inches to get the rim. That's amazing.
Well, the 7'10" wingspan will be the longest wingspan in NBA history when he gets drafted.
So even longer than Rudy Gobert?
Yes.
Because he's up there, too.
He's 7'9".
Oh, wow.
This kid, his arms, when you say Stretch Armstrong, he's definitely Stretch Armstrong for the old school kids out there that know about that. He is an intriguing prospect. Obviously, he didn't go through any of the 5-on-5.
Oh, that would have been stupid.
Yeah. But, you know, it's funny that you said that. There are some kids that I thought should have gone through some of the 5-on-5s.
That could have helped their cause?
That could have helped their cause, because two kids went through the 5-on-5 that clearly helped their cause. One being Dante DiVincenzo, who was still hot from the national championship game for Villanova. He came out and got buckets, and it just so happens he has the highest vertical of anyone that was at the combine.
That's right. Yeah.
White man can jump.
Yeah.
Okay. Somewhere Woody Harrelson is going, see, I told you. And the other one that really stood out to me locally, Kevin Herter, man. That kid can play. I saw him about 5 times on TV this year, Chase, and I was like, oh, he's a really good shooter. He's way more than that. Chase, he can facilitate, put the ball on the floor, has really good size. He's 6'7.25" with shoes on. So he has great size for a two guard. And he didn't seem to be in awe of the moment. I think from everything that I gathered from talking to scouts about him, very calm, cool, and collected kind of kid, and is a basketball player. It's not like he's an athlete or he just shoots. He can actually play the game. And I will be very interested on May 30th is the deadline when some of these kids have to make a decision if they're going to go back to school or stay. I'll be very curious as to what happened to Kevin Herter after this week in Chicago. If scouts, GMs are telling his people and telling Mark Turgeon, this kid has a chance to not only get drafted, but maybe getting drafted in the first round.
Yeah, Sports Illustrated, this may be pretty reactionary, but they have him going 18th right now to the San Antonio Spurs. And it's a result of that combine.
Oh, he would be perfect there.
Yeah, he's got an NBA jumper, man. He can get rid of it quick and is accurate from long range. A few other guys who stood out in the measurements, Grayson Allen, about a 41-inch max vertical leap. That guy's an athlete, man. I know you've seen him for years.
White man can jump.
He can jump, dude.
That was kind of the theme in Chicago is DiVincenzo, Herter, and Grayson Allen, man. Off the charts kind of measurables.
Yeah, I like Grayson Allen for a second-round pick. I think he can play. I don't know if his antics are going to be accepted at the NBA level, but he's a very competitive guy. If he can reel that in, that could be a plus.
I think he has grown from those experiences. Listen, it's very rare to get me to make any kind of compliment about somebody that went to that school, but I think he has grown in that department, and he has NBA athleticism. I mean, he can get it. And, you know, playing at a program like that, for him to be a four-year player and to go through all the things that he went through, some of the things were, you know, he did on his own. But the fact that you have a lot of these one-and-dones that kept coming through the program while he was still there and him trying to figure out his role, and then you're having, like, Marvin Bagley come 1 year. And then another year you got this guy and that guy. So I'll be curious to see where he goes. I agree with you. I think he's probably a second-round pick. The other thing that was interesting, Chase, is my guy Mitchell Robinson was not there.
Yeah.
And
that is your guy.
From what I was told, he might have got a promise from a team.
Really?
He might have got a promise because I found it curious that he didn't show up for any of the measurements. He didn't show up for any of the workouts.
And that promise was good enough for him, or it's like, okay, I don't need to show anything.
I don't have to show up. I'll show up at maybe a team's workout. And he might have got a promise.
Really?
And, you know, for me, I haven't seen him in a full game. I saw him in the McDonald's game. That doesn't count. That's like an all-star game. But I wanted to ask scouts firsthand, Chase, am I off with what I see as a very intriguing prospect? And none of the scouts that I said was I was off. They were like, he might be the most athletic big in this draft.
Now, see, that's a claim.
He's not a better player probably than DeAndre Ayton.
Because Ayton's athleticism is unbelievable.
But I was told by multiple scouts this kid might be more athletic.
Really?
than Aiden, but not a better, but not a better player. There's a difference. So he's an intriguing prospect. And again, not a lot of people have seen him, but maybe somebody's seen enough to potentially have made a promise to him.
Speaking of Mitchell Robinson, I want to get your and I's early favorites as you look at the Wizards' first-round pick. You know, some guys who might be there who have intrigued you so far. We got a long way to go, but a few other things that stood out to me about the measurables. One is that Trae Young came in at like 6'5", 6'1", without shoes. If he was 6'3", you know, like a Steph Curry, that would, I think, help his cause a lot. But his size was much closer to a Kemba Walker or a Chris Paul. Now, maybe he's one of those guys that can make it work at that size, but Chris Paul is a major anomaly in the recent history of the game. A lot of these point guards are much bigger.
Chris has got some bulk to him.
Yeah,
he's got some size to
strong.
Him, too.
He's strong, yeah. And Kemba Walker just has crazy handles and, you know, an amazing step-back jumper and obviously did what he did in college. So to bank on being that type of player, that's going to be pretty tough. Another guy who I think someone who helped his cause at the combine was Landry Shamet. I think I'm pronouncing that correctly. Mm-hmm. He's someone who could be in the Wizards range. He's from Wichita State, probably the best outside shooter in the draft. Wouldn't you say? At least
if
you look at the numbers.
He took part in the 5-on-5s and he was pretty good. He stood out to me. He's a big guard too. He's 6'5".
He measured in tall.
That's a big point guard.
He measured in tall. From what I understand, he began his career as a shooting guard at Wichita State and moved to point guard. It wasn't exactly a seamless transition, but they believe he can play both positions at the next level, and at 6'5", that's good size. Super sweet jumper, man. He's got a Bradley Beal-type stroke. You know, one of those guys that maybe comes around once a year where it's just like, okay, that guy looks like he's going to get
hit. I don't know
if
I'd go that far, but okay.
Yeah,
that,
okay. Is that too much?
Yeah, that might be a stretch there.
It's textbook, man.
That was Chase Hughes that said that comparison,
okay,
not Chris
textbook.
Miller.
You know what? Speaking of that, later on I want to ask you the guys that you were most wrong about, so that could be, that might be a good segue.
Wrong
there.
About in the draft?
Yes.
Okay,
yeah.
I like that.
Yeah, we'll get
like
to that later after the Mark Turgeon interview. But first, why don't you give me a few names that you're either expecting to be there at 15 or hoping will be there at 15 that you like, a few guys.
Well, I saw Khyree Thomas. I'd be honest with you, Chase, I didn't watch one Creighton game all year. You know, when you're on the grind, it's very rare you get to see, you know, guys like that at that level play. But from everything that I gathered from him, he's a defensive-minded shooting guard. I think his shot needs some work, but he's got good size to him. Very intelligent. Really enjoyed the interview with him. I think he's a military kid. Somebody to keep your eye on. Robert Williams, to me, I still think is an intriguing prospect. You know, the kid out of Texas A&M. He didn't take part really in anything in Chicago. I wouldn't be surprised if he got a promise also.
Khyree Thomas, real quick, by the way. He is 6'3", about 6'4", with shoes, but has a 6'11 wingspan.
Yeah, so he could be a pretty intriguing guy defensively. Lonnie Walker, another shooting guard from Miami, could be there. I only saw him a couple of times during the season. He's got good size for a shooting guard. I think Miles Bridges, maybe.
If he's there, that's one of the guys I like a lot.
Very athletic. But here's the thing. When you're really, really athletic in college, when you go to the NBA, every night you're seeing a guy like that. Mm-hmm. So you've got to bring something else to the table. So
he rebounds crazy good for his size.
So I want to see.
His threes.
Is that his niche when he gets to the league? Is he going to be a hustle guy that gets rebounds? Or is he somebody that's going to be able to develop some offense when he gets to this level? Because, again, you can't just be athletic coming into this league.
I think he got a lot of his points just off athleticism.
That's why everybody keeps talking about Zion Williamson, and we're still a year away from him potentially coming to the draft. And how athletic he is in high school, I'm like, yeah, but when he gets to the NBA, everybody's like that.
Mm-hmm.
Or close to it. So you're going to have to actually have a discernible skill outside of your athleticism to be able to contribute right away. So those are some of the guys.
Miles Bridges, by the way, small forward, just over 6'5", without shoes, Miles Bridges. So he came in a little bit shorter. You know who I like a lot? I don't know if he's going to be there. I would expect actually him to move up to the top 10 as this process goes. Kevin Knox. From Kentucky, 6'9", shooter.
Should have went to Carolina.
Yeah. Was he almost go there?
I think he was. Tar Heels are 2 on the list.
Oh, man. Yeah, he's dude, he's going to be a player.
He can get a bucket.
Yeah.
He's got good size for that. If he plays shooting guard, he's 6'9".
Shooting guard he might play?
I'm sorry, small forward. If he plays small forward, that's a good size shooting small forward that can put it on the deck. I like him. Yeah. I don't know defensively. He didn't guard much this year, but I like what he can do offensively.
Yeah, he's got a good shot, and some people have thrown out the comparison to Tobias Harris, which I think is pretty apt, and Tobias Harris has been pretty good. You know, maybe not defensively, but he can definitely score. So those are some names I like. Zaire Smith from Texas Tech. I know you mentioned him. He might be there.
He is super athletic.
Yeah. He might be the best dunker in the draft, right?
That might be an intriguing prospect at 15 for the Wizards.
You know who I haven't been?
If they keep it.
Yeah. Well, you don't think they will?
I don't know.
See, I think everything suggests that they will keep it.
Okay, let me ask you this then.
Because if they trade the pick, how are they going to have young, cheap talent on their roster?
That's a great point. But what if you feel like you're a piece away? See, this is the interesting thing about the Wizards. The Wizards are not a team.
They need salary cap flexibility. That's the best way to get it.
But if they feel like they're one more player away, is a rookie at 15 that one piece away from getting to where they want to be, which is the Eastern Conference Finals? I don't care who is here at 15. It's just something to keep in mind. Listen, they've got all options on the table, which is the beauty of all of this. If you stay at 15, here's the thing. That player is a rookie, and that player is probably not going to play a lot. That's the question. Do you use that asset and a current player on your roster to potentially get better? Again, the flexibility to make those decisions are what's really important this time of the year, because you're not in the top five where you know Ayton, Donich, Bagley, Jaren Jackson Jr., Michael Porter, they're going to help you right away. I don't know if 15 is going to help you right away.
Yeah, keep in mind, like, even as good as Otto Porter is now, Kelly Oubre, even as good as he is now, those guys, when they were rookies, were, I mean, non-factors, right?
Right.
Can you afford, if you're this team that's trying to win now while John Wall's in his prime before his contract kicks in? Yeah, I mean, it's a consideration, but if you're looking at the long-term salary cap flexibility of this team, they have to keep that pick, I think. And barring something big and unforeseen, like if you were able to bring in, like I've said, another all-star or something like that, that's the only time you can really, you know, say that you would part with that. So like I said, we're going to hear from Mark Turgeon. He's got a few of his players either going to the NBA or mulling that leap, and Chris caught up with him in Chicago, so we'll hear from the coach of the Maryland Terrapins right after a commercial break.
This has to be, for a college coach, kind of two emotions. One, you are so happy for these kids, but then you have to think about your program too when you've got three guys going, okay, what am I going to do in terms of recruiting moving forward? Yeah. How are your emotions today?
Well, you know, ultimately what you want is you want your guys to play in the NBA, but stay in the NBA and be there for a long time. And these three guys all have a chance to do that. But in the end, you want them to make educated decisions. So that's where you come into play as a head coach, and hope they listen and just try to gather as much information as you can. And this group, you know, Justin's gone, obviously, he's moved on, but, you know, Bruno and Kevin have been really good about, hey, all right, coach, we're going to listen and gather information. We haven't talked about it because we wanted to get through Chicago. They've done some workouts that I've done Chicago, and then we'll sit down and I'll talk to a lot of NBA teams this weekend and just kind of see where they are. But ultimately, that's where we want them. We want them in the league. That's why we recruited them. We thought they could be NBA players. But we want to make sure they get that second contract. They're there for a long time.
Kevin had an amazing day on Friday. And it doesn't help when people like me see something and he does something maybe that he might not have done at Maryland in terms of his explosion. And then all of a sudden, it becomes a big thing. He's always been a really good shooter. But what is he doing specifically now that is turning people's heads?
Well, I'll be honest with you. I didn't think his day was that great, but it's because I expect that out of Kevin. Kevin made like five or six passes that no other kid could make in this camp. And, of course, not all the top players are at this camp, but Kevin made some plays that no one else is going to make, so he stood out right there. To me, he's always become better, you know, an athlete. He's tested well. He's got good length. We work on all these tests that they're doing with our strength and conditioning coach. We have him prepared. you know, Melo did really good in these tests, and Kevin's done exceptional. I'm sure Bruno's doing well today, and I'm so happy for Kevin. Kevin's level-headed, but, you know, Kevin's an NBA player. You know, whether it's this year or next year, we're not sure. We'll decide that in the next 10 days.
He said to me yesterday that, I asked him, I said, is this kind of a two-pronged good thing for you, kind of delaying the dream if you do come back? And if you do come back, you're playing with a really good recruiting class that's coming in. How do you separate what's in the best interest of the program and what's in the best interest of the kid?
It's all about the kid. It is. You know, because I'm old now. I got a few gray hairs, and I'm fine. I tell them I'm fine. Don't worry about me. But ultimately, you get in to help players be the best that they can be. It might not be the NBA. It might be, you know, getting a job in the business world and being successful there, being a good husband, being a good father. And so every situation is different. But this situation, you want what's best for the kid. It can, it's a, you know, it can change the family for a long time. It could, grandkids could be not having to pay for college type thing. So you want what's best for the kids. It's all about timing. I've done this long enough where I really feel like I can give them sound advice, and then once they, you know, get drafted or whatever they decide, then they, you know, then the work really starts. But we want them to get to that second contract. That's what we talk about with them, getting that second contract, being able to get to that second contract. You have to put yourself in a good position.
It's good to talk to you. I know this is kind of one of those mixed emotion days, but try to enjoy the rest of it.
Well, you know, we got three kids here. A few years ago, we had four kids there here. So we're doing something right, you know. We're making players better. We're recruiting the right guys. And when I came to Maryland a few years ago, I said I want to have 20 or 25 guys in the NBA. So you got to have days like that, you know, like this for that to happen.
Well, you're on your way. Thanks so much, Mark. Right, appreciate you.
And we're back on the Wizards Tip-Off podcast, presented by Greenberg and Betterman Personal Injury Lawyers. Thanks to Mark Turgeon of the Maryland Terrapins for joining the show, talking to Chris out in Chicago. And Chris, what'd you learn from Mark Turgeon, who is clearly wondering what his team is going to look like next year?
Well, he's got a really good recruiting class coming in, which is good. But he also has three players that went to Chicago last weekend that are trying to get jobs. he was kind of like happy for the kids, but then he's also, and you heard him say there, listen, I want these guys to really kind of focus on, you know, that second NBA contract. You know, these guys are talented enough to get drafted. It's not just getting drafted, it's staying in the league. And I feel like as much information as they can get to help Herter and Fernando make their decision, Justin Jackson's already gone. He's hired an agent. He's gone. But for the other two, how much data are they going to get before the May 30th deadline for these kids to make the most important decision of their young lives? Before, it was probably, what school do I go to? Do I eat Chipotle or Five Guys? Now it's going to be, do I want to stay in
school? What's my favorite Marvel character?
Right. Now it's, do I want to take that leap and reach my ultimate dream? And from what Kevin Herter and I were talking in Chicago, I talked to him about delaying the dream. Delaying the dream would be like going back to Maryland and having a really good situation because you got a really good recruiting class coming back. Or saying, I think I've done enough to now become an NBA player. And that's the decisions that they have to make now until the 30th, Chase. It's a tough decision, but you hope the kid, the coach, and the people that are involved in decision-making in the NBA are giving this kid the best and factual information possible, because there's nothing worse than a team being like, oh, yeah, yeah, we like him, whatever, blowing him off, and then you don't draft the kid.
That happens.
And that happens. And listen, I have no dog in the fight, you know, with Maryland. None. But I do want to make sure that these kids are getting the right information, because if they're not given the right information, you're doing a disservice to these kids. That's the bottom line with me. It's about the kids. It's not about the NBA. It's not about these universities that are recruiting these kids. It's about the kids. Are you giving these kids the best intel for them and their parents to make the best decision?
And you got to be careful who you listen to. You know, it was about this time last year that Rick Pitino said Donovan Mitchell needed another year in college, and that does not look like a very smart thing to say right now. I saw someone put a tweet out there. They were like, the FBI should open another investigation into Rick Pitino for saying that. It was so wrong.
Listen, that's what I'm saying. You know, and clearly, that was in his best interest.
Yeah.
That wasn't in Donovan Mitchell's best interest.
No, it was not.
Because it turns out, Everybody missed on that kid until Utah decided to take him late.
Keep in mind, he was picked 13th. Wizards are picking 15th. Not that there's a guy like that available every year, but
you know, it's funny.
There are guys available in this range.
That was the question in Chicago. Who's going to be the next Donovan Mitchell? It's like so easy. That's just so lazy. Just like there is no other Donovan Mitchell.
Right.
There could be a kid that goes to a really good situation. Donovan had the perfect situation. Gordon Haywood left. We're like, well, we'll just take this Donovan Mitchell kid. We don't know how good he's going to be. He developed. He played with a great coach. The system around him was really good. It was the perfect storm for him, and he ended up having a rookie of the year, in my opinion, type season.
Yeah, who's the next Donovan Mitchell is kind of like, who's the next Tom Brady or who's the next Russell Wilson? Like,
right.
We're still looking for those guys. Like, you're not going to find a Russell Wilson every year in the third round or whatever he was picked as a quarterback. So it's very, very difficult. Donovan Mitchell, by the way, I was watching college highlights. I'm trying to figure out how everyone missed this guy. I didn't even know anything about him before he started just tearing it up.
He admitted that he didn't have the most consistent college career.
Yeah.
By his own admission. And you're seeing what happens when you go to a really good situation. Utah was a great place for him to go because clearly all you could do is focus on basketball. But, you know, the culture was in place for him to succeed.
Yeah. And clearly the NBA, the game itself, is very suited to his style. So he is tremendous. And I don't think you're going to find another version of him, but there are going to be good players available. By the way, when it comes to Turgeon's players at Maryland, Herder's clearly the quickest riser. I think he has a chance of actually being a first-round pick. Fernando, I see him getting drafted. I don't know how high, but he's a very impressive athlete. Jackson seems like he has a chance of being a second-round pick, but he's just intent on going to the NBA and seeing what happens. And clearly, with the development of the G League and these two-way contracts, the odds of getting picked late and still succeeding are much higher than they probably were. At least they will be higher over time.
Yeah, it's the question of when do you want to get started. If you know you're a pro, the question is do I want to go back to college and you've got this really good recruiting class coming in and now you might be sharing minutes, or do you want to go to the G League and get your NBA career started? Now, with these teams that have these G League teams under them, you're learning their sets. Everything is the same. From everything that I gathered about what the Wizards want to do with the Go-Go is, they want to literally have it a seamless transition for if they do bring that kid up, he knows Scott's sets. He knows the regimen and the routine that the training staff wants you to go through because everything is kind of just streamlined from the NBA team down. So, you know, if you're one of these kids that's like, you know what, I might take a flyer on the second round. Okay, maybe I'm a second rounder. I'll probably go to the G League. I'm going to play the same amount of minutes I would have played in college, and I'm getting paid for it.
Yeah.
Legally.
And, right, yeah. Yeah, and they are expanding this development system to the point where the draft is probably going to expand at some point.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Ted Leonsis has said that himself. So, A late second round pick in a few years might mean something completely different.
And guess what happens, Chase? Don't you get to control like now where you go? After that contract is over with, you can kind of
You start that clock.
You start your clock.
Right.
So
I want to get to the players that we were most wrong about. And everyone who tries to evaluate college basketball players going to the NBA has a few on their resume, some worse than others. I've got some pretty bad ones. So we'll get to that in a second here. I got to say, if the GNB's office, they will come to you. So, who are some guys that you got on your soapbox for and ended up looking very stupid because you said that guy was going to be a great NBA player and he wasn't? You have anyone? Maybe not great, but who did you think was going to be a good NBA player, an all-star that just fell completely flat as a bust?
I don't think I had any, Chase.
Any? Come on, even NBA GMs have those.
No.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good question. I don't know if I've ever...
I've got two.
Tyler Hansbrough.
Tyler Hansbrough. He was okay for a little while. You thought he was going to be really good? Sean May, I could kind of tell, wasn't going to be that great of an
okay, Chase, I'll admit, it was Tyler Hansbrough and Sean May. There, are you happy?
You thought Sean May was going to be good?
Yes.
I thought Derek Williams out of Arizona was going to be good.
Ooh.
Because he could fly.
You fell
and
for
he
that
could shoot threes, too. Yeah. But I thought he could shoot.
I just got it. DeJuan Wagner.
You thought he was going to be really good? Memphis? Right?
I thought he was going to be really good, and it just didn't work out for the kid. I thought he was going to be a really good player playing alongside LeBron.
my number one all time, and there's a lot of people out there who will remind me of this, is Anthony Bennett. I thought Anthony Bennett was going to be a good NBA player.
What? What did you see?
What did I see? Did you see his highlights at UNLV? He could do everything.
So you're a YouTube guy.